Welcome back. Roll Route, Trent Luce, Gary Aksamit joining us. Are the Nebraska Cornhusker softball women going to win the national title this year, Gary?
I don't know. I don't follow it. So
they're ranked number two, and the first series game is tonight. So, you know, the bread and circuses starts tonight for some of us.
The bread and circus. I love that.
Well, it's all about food and entertainment, right? I mean, that's a whole new concept. I just created that. It's never been talked about before.
So, what's the next topic we're going to hit, my friend?
You pick. You tell me. But I'm not buying that you're not gambling on this because you're still posting. You're still willing to join me. So, you know there's a hope.
I'm trying to lead the other 1%.
Mm-hmm.
Not the rich 1%. I'm trying to lead the 1% that thinks for themselves. That's all I'm trying to do. And I try not to. I have this crazy thing about being self-conscious of putting pictures of me out on social media and stuff like that. And so I end up posting things in metaphorical cadence, if you will, where I hope there are people that can read between the lines, because I mean, Sebastian Gorka came out yesterday or the day before and said he's going to crack down on anybody in the United States that has anything bad to say about the military and the Jewish lobby. And so I know they're watching me, Trent. I mean, 3-4 weeks ago, I posted on Facebook a very candid question. I said, how is it that the United States Air Force and the United States Navy took such unbelievable beatings in the first couple of weeks of this Iranian conflict, and we only have 13 people dead and maybe a couple dozen that are wounded? You mean to tell me everybody on those ships just happened to be at the other end of the ship when they were like, nope, we got to go. We got to get the other end of the ship. There's a bomb coming. No, I don't believe this. I don't believe this. Here's another one that blows my mind. So when I got back to the United States on Sunday night, on social media, everybody was talking about the hantavirus. And by the way, Europe is in a whole different mindset about the hantavirus. I mean, I had to go through a biometric center at Heathrow that was separate from immigration, where I had to give them a picture of my driver's license, my passport, my phone number, my home address. I had to give them all of that. I mean, they're already tracking and tracing on this thing. I come to the United States the first day or so on Monday. There was a bunch of posts about the virus, and then all of a sudden, it's gone. I'm sorry, but I'm going to think for myself. I don't care if people think that I'm tinfoil hat and crazy, but I'm going to think for myself, and I'm going to make decisions for myself. And you ask about, am I, I'm not completely disconnected from investing. But I'm investing in things that go up when this thing goes bad. And that's Bitcoin and gold and silver.
Mm-hmm. For the record, not everybody talked about the hantavirus because I haven't talked about it yet. But okay. I did go beyond what they're talking about and look at what's happening with alpha-gal syndrome. And I've spent a tremendous amount of time this week on Lone Star ticks. And the mm-hmm. amount of ticks that are showing up and what happens when you get bitten.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We're on borrowed time. One of these diseases is going to connect. And when it does, it's going to ravage our society. Look, I don't, you know, I'm a true libertarian. I don't care whether you got this COVID jab or whether you didn't get the COVID jab. It's none of my business. That's your personal choice. That's your life. That's how I see the world. That's how my dad raised me. But the problem that I saw with COVID is that I made a prediction as soon as COVID was starting to go away. I said, the next time there's a serious pandemic, we'll kill several billion people because nobody knows what to believe anymore. I mean, it's nuts. You can log into Twitter and Facebook and you can see an opinion on every topic from the one extreme to the other. And so, yeah, I'm an army of one. I'm a sovereign citizen. I'm going to think for myself. I'm going to do what I have to do in order to survive this.
What, you know, I threw out bread and circuses, mm-hmm. obviously to be somewhat entertaining, because that's about entertainment. We will, in this house, follow Nebraska softball because we have a softball family, and Jordy Ball and the Rhonda Ravel have been amazing. But it's amazing how many things circle back. Life is cyclical. Yep. Romans talked about bread and circuses.
Yep.
Mark Twain, who just becomes more profound every day. I grew up 10 miles from Mark Twain's boyhood home, so he was just like a local guy, really. And now, you know, you go look at Mark Twain quotes, and I told somebody the other day, because they said, I just can't see the newspaper, so I don't know what's going on anymore. His sight's bad. And I said, well, you know what, Butch? Mark Twain said that if you read the newspaper, if you don't read the newspaper, you're ignorant. If you read the newspaper, you're misinformed.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And Mark Twain also said that it is easier to fool someone than to convince them they've been fooled. Oh, yes. Boy, are we living that?
Yes. And this is the problem that we're dealing with, is that recency biases, limiting beliefs, it's hard to admit that you're wrong. Okay, but I want to tell you something. Being a trader on the Kansas City Board of Trade and the Chicago Board of Options Exchange taught me how to admit you're wrong. I mean, you put on a trade, if it goes against you, you get out. You put on another trade. You learn to admit that you're wrong. But most people have a really, really hard time with admitting that they're wrong. And I don't care whether it's an election, I don't care whether it's, you know, financial decisions. People have a hard time, and that's why people project. That's why people blame. It's you know, I didn't do it. He did it to me. No, you made the choice. You bought an X9 John Deere combine that you probably didn't need. So don't come bitching to me about going broke, because you know your 680 would have done just fine, but your ego wanted to have an X9. But then everybody's a victim, and I don't play the victim game, my friend. I don't play it. You know,
For whatever reason, well, the reason is farmers are, they're not filing bankruptcy at the level they could, because the bank is telling them, you're not filing bankruptcy, you're just selling out. You're just going to get out.
Yeah. They call them retirement sales.
Correct. That's exactly what they call them. And if you look at the amount of equipment that is available for sale, in terms of tractors and combines and grain carts and all the, they should farm 10,000 acres, and it turns out they farm 2,000. It's like, how come you didn't see this coming? Why are you so overspent on all of these equipment needs? And I think John Deere is responsible for most of that, to be honest, other than we just don't use our own discernment.
John Deere is like a crack dealer. They just sell and sell and sell it. I mean, when I was a kid, my dad had a theory that he would tell farmers. He'd say, if you're not putting 500 hours a year on a tractor, you don't need to own it. Where I'm sitting right now in Bruning, Nebraska, there's a machine shed about a mile from me right now that has an MX, I don't know these numbers, a 350 or whatever Case IH tractor hooked onto a 24-row planter, and that's all that tractor does. And he farms, I think, 6 or 8 quarters. No. We used to farm 2,000 acres with a 4430, a 4640, and a 4020. We were on a tractor from the time the sun come up until the time the sun went down. We were professional farmers. That was our job. I don't understand this. This is whatever.
Yeah, and the big difference there is that you started planting the minute the ground temperature was okay, maybe a little bit before, because we got to get it in there. Today, they wait, and 3 days later, you look around, and it's like, oh my goodness, there's 12 sections just been planted of corn. It just happens like this.
Yes, they pull into a half section with 3 or 4 24-row planters, and 4 or 5 hours later, they're gone.
Yep. Speaking of being gone, we're gone from segment 2. We'll be back with a sec. We're going to come back. We're not leaving segment, second half of a Redshirt Friday Roll Route, Gary XM at Trent Luce after this. Why do you think we have 17 Proud of the Farm energy-free waterers? Because they work. And we've had them dating back 20 years. Not all of them added to them, but the last one was the four-hole cow water, which, by the way, four holes will water 100 cows. More details about the blue box that's energy-free, working for me, on the website at prideofthefarm.com. It is the Pride of the Farm blue box. The insulation in this thing is absolutely incredible, and that's twofold. Keeps it cool, keeps it warm. It does not keep it warm. Keeps it liquid, capturing Earth's temperature. More details on the website. Since 1922, the big blue box is energy-free for me and you. More details. I'm trying to find some rhyme in there that works, right? You tell me what it should be. Go to the website, check out how this company has remained committed to American-made and works with farmers every day. Prideofthefarm.com on the web, prideofthefarm.com. National Western 2027, January is coming. We are the West. Details on the website, nationalwestern.com.